And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time now for Off the Wall and a walking tour of a part of Seattle known as Georgetown, recorded last December. Stay tuned.
You'll thank me for that someday, because hearing the sound of your door closing is a familiar sound that stays with you throughout your entire life.
Really?
Yeah. My cat, in fact. You remember when we were outside going to the drugstore and testing out microphones? Came all the way back home and came through the front door, and I was playing this, and the cat, like, perked up because he heard the front door opening, even though it was on the speakers. You know that sound, so very,
really?
Very familiar sound.
Well, I can't say I remember past doors sounds.
Well, have you?
Maybe that one I'll remember more vividly.
I think you would if you heard them. If you heard the door of your childhood opening, it would stir something in you. That's what I think.
Oh, I see what you're...
Look at this. Two freight trains going by at the same time. In the same direction.
And one stopped.
And there's another one stopped. I've never seen that before. Two freight trains at the same time going in the same direction.
That looks kind of... a little mesmerizing. That's a little crazy. You know what it reminds me of is a turntable, the timing strobe on a platter of a turntable.
Oh yeah, it does.
Certain dots go faster and others go, and you can look at that and time the records that way.
Why are there four of them? I never could figure that out.
I always, couldn't either. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm sure there's a huge article somewhere or, you know,
when
it's
I had my,
SL220s,
what I did was I had the 33 and the 45s.
Right.
But, you know, it didn't work with 78. It didn't even go 78, so I don't know what those other ones were for.
Right.
So, we're here in Georgetown by, well, maybe you can hear the trains.
They're really quiet.
Now, I saw a car go by that said Evergreen, and of course, Washington is known as the Evergreen State. Did you know that? Washington is known as the Evergreen State? Did you know?
Yes.
Okay, because you live here, you should know that.
Yes.
So, now, where is Evergreen a company in this country? I mean, this state?
I they run a terminal down in the Port of Tacoma, which is the second largest, port in the country on the west coast, I think. And I think it's a coincidence. I don't think Evergreen, excuse me, I got the hiccups now, is a local company.
Are those diesels? Wait, what are those?
Oh yeah, that's a diesel going on the other track.
But wait a minute, how could a diesel be going after all those
maybe
other cars?
Maybe it was on the end of that particular train.
They put diesels on the end of freight trains? I didn't know that.
I don't know. Maybe it was pushing the whole lot of it.
I didn't know they did that. Okay, well, now there's only one freight train going by.
They do all kinds of stuff.
But apparently they do. It's really... And a lot of double-decker cars going by, and...
That was invented in the Port of Tacoma.
What was?
The double-decker intermodal transport container.
Is that really that hard to invent? It put something on top of something else? That's an invention?
Apparently,
not to take anything away from
I've been
just,
told. I don't know. I can't. I don't have a source. But yeah, I guess it is. It's innovation to be able to double stack containers, because then you get twice as much, because the engines can pull.
Any
five-year-old
kid can figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess the bridges and stuff had to be adjusted, and they had to make sure the height would be compatible.
Make the height higher,
across.
Yeah.
To like Chicago. Wherever.
That noise occasionally you hear, it's really weird because
sometimes it'll shake the whole, you know, area wherever.
Well,
it is.
You're standing, right? You're standing still, and you hear what sounds like a really fast moving train approaching.
Right.
And it's just like this noise that comes from far away and passes you and goes into the distance, and it's really the train reacting to something. I don't know, slowing down or speeding up. And it just goes car to car to car, and that goes whizzing right by you. It's a really bizarre sensation.
I like all the different sounds, the shuddering. Sometimes it can startle you, really scare you, but...
Yeah, it scared me the other day. That's why I noticed it. And, it was really... It was something else.
I always realize it, though, quickly. I hope that doesn't become a complex or something to where I'm at a disadvantage and something... The train is really coming through my living room.
Well, no, I'd avoid standing on train tracks, and I don't think it'll be an issue.
Yeah, I keep clear of them. Even though I've seen people photograph and stuff and do different things, I try to stay on the right side of the street. I don't like to get too close to it. Like, one time I was over there by the street sign.
Across the street next to the actual train tracks.
Near the tracks.
Yeah, we're one block away. I mean, we're across the street from them. You can see, a car just passed us, which proves that we're not...
Yeah, right by the street.
Yeah.
There's traffic. In any event, so this, you know, I don't want to look like somebody who's trying to hop a train and this kind of thing.
What does somebody who's going to hop a train look like?
Well, they probably don't have a camera or a microphone or some sort of drawing utensil. They're not sitting there, you know, enjoying the beauty of the whole, you know, apparatus. But
formal dress or just casual? I mean, is there a proper...
Outdoor, you know, warm if you're in the winter or whatnot, uh-huh. But, you know, you want to... I don't know. I just feel like it's... They have all that rail over there. I don't see any sidewalks. It really isn't for people.
No, it's not really for people. Unless those people are on a passenger train that passes by occasionally.
Yeah, and we get some of those. Amtrak and regional rail. It's called a Sounder train here in Seattle.
Uh-huh. Now, do they use the same tracks as the freight trains, or are there additional tracks in addition to the three that are being used for freight trains right now?
I think there's a far line. We can just walk up on the bridge and look down and count them if you want.
We could do that, I suppose.
I think it's six tracks.
Oh, six tracks. Wow, that's quite a lot. Well, we could walk down there if you want to do that. We're standing on a street corner. I guess I should introduce ourselves. This is Emmanuel. Kyle.
Hi.
We're actually in Georgetown, which is a part of Seattle, which is in the state of Washington. Yeah, I know this can get kind of confusing because Georgetown is a part of Washington, D.C. as well, but I can tell you there's nothing more far away than Washington, D.C. right now. We're in the state of Washington. We are in Georgetown, which is part of Seattle.
In the Pacific Northwest.
Exactly, yes, of the United States. And
also known as Cascadia.
What's known as Cascadia?
The entire region, the Pacific Northwest.
Really? Like, what? What does that include? Oregon?
Oh, my neighbor has a map on their door.
I saw that! Saw that, but we're always, like, trying to get out so quickly that I never actually stopped and looked at it.
Yeah, Cascadia would be the name of whatever would secede if this area did, in fact, secede.
Okay, so if, like, the revolution comes and we split everything up and...
This would be Cascadia. And it is actually a scientific way of referring to the ecosystems around here. Cascadia, the mountain system, mountainous area and the interface and the water and that kind of thing, it's all the Cascadia region. So it has grounding, but there is actually a movement to organize, and it would actually dip into BC as well.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
Northern California.
So it actually includes part of BC, or all of BC.
The entirety of Oregon, and that would be Cascadia. And there's different regions and isolations. They have a flag, too.
This is based on geography, or just someone's whim, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, we have borders already. What do we need other borders? That was that noise we were talking about. Did you hear it? It was the sound of the one car hitting another all the way. It stopped. Now it's starting again. So I guess you hear that sound on subway trains, too, sometimes when it stopped and it starts and every car moves one by one. But okay, back to Cascadia. I guess someone just came up with this idea on their own, or it's something from long ago?
Yeah,
well, you have no idea.
I don't know the origins of it. It's sort of this answer in a lot of ways to... It's just a political thing, like kind of a thing people started up. I don't think it has this deep tradition in the, you know, hundreds of years old category. It's probably something that came up in the last 20 years.
Here comes a truck. This is...
I think it's more of a whim.
One of those 18-wheelers without the 18 wheels. This is going by. That was actually pretty funny. It was a UPS truck. Without the UPS, like, it's just a cab. It said UPS on it, but he's missing the whole rest of his truck.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he knows that. He's probably on his way to get the rest of it, but still, it's just funny looking.
Yeah.
You don't see that often. You don't see cabs of 18-wheelers just driving around.
Yeah, they're going back and forth from the airport where they receive stuff by air and to a distribution terminal.
Now, I just heard a horn in the distance, and I hear some diesel engine, so maybe we should walk towards, you know, where we can actually see what's going on. But we're in Georgetown, which...
I think there's another train coming.
From the other direction.
Yeah, you got another train coming, man.
Well, you got one, too. It's not just my train. But do you see it? Do you see lights?
I see the light from it.
Well, I see lights, but I don't know if that's a light from a train. How can you tell? It's not moving.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the general area of the track. And there's this track, at least two tracks in between, the one that's nearest to us and the one that's moving right now. And a lot of times, once they move one in, they're moving it in a deliberate way such that they can get other stuff out. And that might actually be a garbage train coming or something. I'm not sure. It looks like a freight engine.
I don't know what you're looking at, because I just see stationary lights down there. And
it also could just be an engine switching areas, like it's done in one area. And it's changing.
Oh, maybe I see what it looks like. It's close to the inside. It looks like it's... He always sneezes three times. When's your third one coming?
Why are you spreading lies?
Well, you do. You sneeze twice, and then there's a pause.
Nah, you're right.
There's a third
totally
sneeze,
I
but
always,
you're stifling that one
I
now.
I always sneeze three times.
Oh, here's an airplane. Oh, this is a car. But, you know, we are right next to the airport, Boeing Field. But this plane is not going to Boeing Field. This plane apparently is going to SeaTac. Boeing
yeah.
Field, I think, shut down. Usually there's planes that practically hit you on the head because they're so low heading to Boeing Field. And I'm kind of glad they're not doing that right now because it's very distracting.
Yeah. They run a lot of stuff in the daytime. There's some stuff that comes in at night, but usually it quiets down and becomes really mellow until maybe 3 or 4 in the morning.
And then, bang, it's
and
back. And
or,
wow.
No, maybe later, 5. Depends on what day of the week.
But you'd be surprised how soothing it is. I mean, I am kind of nervous. I hear these planes coming, and I just want to make sure they don't hit the building. But they make an awful lot of noise, and they kind of lull you to sleep sometimes, you know? Sort of almost soothing. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, there's a lot of noise pollution here.
Yeah, you could... I mean, that's kind of negative, but it's noise, you know? It's a sound of industry. We're in an industrial section here.
I say that in a humorous way. With humor. I appreciate it, though. I think when you're in the environment, you become a creature of it, and you can adapt.
Oh, that's the last car. Look, the last car just passed. I see a little flashing red light at the end.
So yeah.
That's it. Now there's no freight trains passing us.
Uh-huh. In any event, it's noisy. I go to other places where it's quiet, and I really notice the quiet. I'd probably adapt to the quiet, too, and notice there's really noise, different noise, you know?
Oh, is this the same UPS? No, I couldn't have possibly hooked up a rig that fast.
No, that guy came across the bridge. Those are airplane containers. They're really busy right now because...
Really tiny airplanes.
Yeah, well, they put them in back to back, and they shape, like, the top half or the lower belly of the plane.
Is that a UPS thing?
Yeah.
Like airplane things?
Yeah, they're the number 2 or number 4 uh-huh. airline in the world.
UPS.
In weight transported and in fleet size, they're pretty darn big.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and the airport's there, the distribution's there. He came across that bridge up there, and then... Yeah.
How do you know he can't... You've been watching him since before he even got here?
Yeah, I saw that him come across the bridge and then...
So you got your eyes on everything in this town.
Yeah. I think here's the train...
Yeah, I hear there's a diesel that just kind of showed up. It's going really slow. I honestly don't know how anything gets moved by freight because every time I look at it, it's going so slow. It's going back and forth. I guess because this is one of the terminals, maybe, but... It just—I like to follow, you know, freight and see how many different directions it goes in before it finally gets to where it's going.
Right. Where do they make up the time or that sort of thing?
Who says they do? I don't
yeah.
think. They... All right. That means get out of the way. So we should probably get off the track now and go back into the
safe
part.
I gotta put a penny down first. Hold on.
Yeah, this is probably isn't safe, and that is don't touch that third rail. No, the reason why they call it that is because you're only supposed to touch two at one time.
There's no third rail. There's only two rails per track.
See, people don't believe in the third rail. The ones that get victimized by it.
I know.
We are standing on the sidewalk, and children, you should do the same. Stay on the sidewalk. Do not stand in the tracks.
There's a bus.
See, now he's backing up. Okay, so now you know the bus is going over the bridge. So does that mean the bus is going to be here soon, or is it going to go somewhere else?
The bus is going somewhere else.
So the diesel is back, even though his headlights are on, he's going the other way now. So this might be one of those cases where they're just going back and forth, attaching cars and detaching cars. It must take hours. We were in a bar once. It was the most amazing thing. We were inside this bar, and instead of, well, in addition to the street that's right outside, the street, 100% of it was covered by a track.
You want to go down and see it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Could walk that way. Maybe we'll bump into some trains.
Yeah, or some drunk people in a bar next to the trains. The train was just backing up and going forward directly in front of the bar. I mean, you couldn't drive past the bar because the train was there. And the best part of it was it kept honking every time it changed directions. So that really was kind of, I guess, if anybody lived there, it'd be a bit annoying.
Absolutely. It's really, really... interesting when it cuts off the road and stuff. Uh-huh. But they still use some of those sidings in really strange places. It's just kind of a fact of having to get trains out of the way so you can have stuff pass and all that. It's interesting to watch. And I haven't really lived by the trains except for this point in my life.
Don't look too unusual here walking around with a microphone.
It is probably a little strange for some people, but... I don't know.
This is Georgetown. Nothing strange here.
There's all kinds of people doing photo shoots all the time and different interesting stuff like that. I've been outside, you know, late with microphones and different things, so I don't know. It's neat.
Well, it's...
People will be accepting.
Yeah, and Georgetown's really an amazing place. Not to bring too many people out here, because part of the amazing thing about Georgetown is that not many people know about it, and not that many people... take up space here and crowd the sidewalks and things like that. It's very bohemian. Is that the right word to use, bohemian? Is that offensive?
I would say industrial first, and then maybe artsy kind of... I mean, artsy is sort of a lame word, but I would say imaginative, full of inspired people.
We're under a highway right now, right? This is the bridge that we saw the bus go over and the UPS truck.
This is the Albro Place, South Albro Place Bridge. And actually, the building we were in front of has been around for quite some time and predated this bridge by, like, I think 20 years or 40 years or something. But the bridge played a big role. There used to be just a crossway before, so vehicles would cross over like a dirt path to get over the rails. But those rails have been there for a long bit of time. I mean, if you can imagine, since the early 20th century, so that's 100 years.
Wow, that's
maybe
amazing.
Maybe longer, yeah.
You know, one thing I wish New York had was more freight trains, because it's just so cool to see them lumbering around, hauling things all over the place. I'm still a little mystified as to how things get around, and you know, it just seems like there's a lot of standing around and not actually moving. But you can't argue when you see, like, a freight train in the middle of the country going really at a good clip from one place to another, and it's a mile long. I think that's something well worth celebrating.
Yeah, seems like it's all about preparation, and then once they're underway, they can just move mountains of freight, literally. So
we're trying to figure out how to move Club Mate on a train, but we haven't quite gotten to that stage yet. It involves boxcars and things that we don't have. Yeah. I would like to get a locomotive. I was saying that before, so I'm not sure where I put it, but I just think they look so cool.
What, and just keep a couple cases under the steering wheel, maybe, or something?
Well, yeah. There he is again. That's the UPS guy with no cab.
Yeah, he's...
Although he is the cab. He has
no
trailer. And, yeah, unless everyone's driving around without trailers now. We're also near the interstate. The interstate's over there, right?
Yeah. So you have two major airports, one really close, one... a little bit further away, and the railroad, and this roadway here, and then an interstate somewhat further, a little further over.
I think I hear the police coming as well, so we have all kinds of things in the area.
Yeah, that's the old Georgetown City Hall over there.
With a clock tower.
Yeah, it's a historical building.
And it's going to strike midnight soon, too. You know, being from New York, I have no issue walking around these darkened streets, but it might seem a little scary to some people. You know, this industrial section with all kinds of interesting buildings and structures, and just like, I don't know, this feeling that things have been here for a while.
Yeah. I like, back to what you were saying about it being bohemian, I think that's right to some degree. And it's very quiet, but there is a community here. There's residential stuff, and there's people that live in these old buildings that sort of on the main drag here, and then some other just quirky businesses. And then mixed in with industrial. You know, you have people that sell nuts and bolts and bulk materials and construction people and, like, architects and everything's like that. And then coffee shops and musicians.
It's really cool to become familiar with it as well, and just to start recognizing things. We just came up on a bicycle shop and a coffee shop and bar.
I've seen things change, too, since I've been here.
Uh-huh. It's just, you know, you start learning where things are, and it's you realize it's a village, you know. It's a place where people know each other, and
yeah,
it's really, really cool. It's also a place where you don't cross against the Reds. Seattle is like that, so we'll stand here by the Red Hand and wait for...
Yeah, we're going this way.
Oh, we're going this way, okay. Why are we going that way? It's all dark over there.
It's the old brewery.
Oh.
And we're not allowed to walk there.
So we're walking there where everybody can see us walking there right now.
Why not?
Okay.
Makes sense. There's a police car that stopped with a light behind us, too.
I was going to say, the town, it has that sound to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a good thing we're not crossing against the red.
Well, I pressed the signal thing.
Yeah, but is that the right one? All right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, now it's yellow, so all you have to tell me is what direction...
They're going to the diner.
They're going right exactly where we're going, into the driveway there, you see?
What? So, can't we go on the crosswalk?
Oh, yeah, but weren't you going to walk into where they just drove?
Yeah.
And now they're turning around, you see, it's like kind of... Oh, man, it's like...
Can't we just walk down the crosswalk?
You mean the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I think we should do.
What? We have a microphone. We're recording this important
that somehow helps.
Yeah, it helps.
All right. Well, right now, we're across the street from where a lot of the places that we've been going to over the last few days. There's a 24-hour diner now, which is really cool. And that was a milestone, a 24-hour diner opened up.
Yeah, the diner was a recent addition as a part of the bar. And there's another place to get sandwiches and stuff. And this is all across the street from the main brewery, which was the original Rainier Brewery. And that's, I don't know if people know, but it's like a famous beer in Washington for the longest time. It's actually still around. It's not brewed in the same spot. Not even in the second brewery that they occupy. So this is the main office on this side. We're on the far side of the street. And then there's a really famous bar, the 9 Pound. And then they have their diner, the Square Knot.
Yeah, and you were telling me this yesterday. We were in the 9 Pound, actually, and we were just walking around how everything is part of one building. I'm looking at it now. It's a building that just has all these bars and restaurants and things connected to each other, both inside and outside. And it's been around forever.
Yeah, like, this is part of... You get the feeling it's like an old city building. It's not... part of the residential streets where houses and things like that would change and people add and modify it as they can as homeowners. This is like a part of the city. I don't know when this building was built, but it's part of the old town for this part of town. And Georgetown, in fact, was a really important endpoint. It was considered a party town, or like a, it was the end of the trolley system when we did have electric trolleys. And there were a lot of saloons and stuff down here that people kind of
had sort of a rip-roaring time back in the early 20th century. When
they were having a rip-roaring time in the early part of last night. The brewery still goes on. Not this brewery, anyway, because this is the old one.
Right, but you can imagine, I mean, you've got the trolley station ending here and then a huge brewery. We've been to plenty of places around the world, and generally around the brewery, there's a good time historically and to this day. So.
Yes. By the way, there's a strange-looking person going back and forth over there. Is he waiting for a bus, or is he just waiting for us?
He's waiting for a bus.
Okay, good.
You're altogether pretty safe here.
Well, I figure as much, but still, I always like to keep my eyes open.
The cops really aren't interested, I don't think.
Amazingly enough, I haven't seen very many of them.
They're not out to really hassle anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Georgetown is, there's not a lot of people, but as I said, there is a community. And some of these places are open at night, and you know, the 24-hour thing is case in point. It's growing, and that people want that, and people from all over come to the 24-hour diner now. And in addition to the people that live in this old building, it's just really made it like a real actual community. And so people do walk around at night now, and it's not uncommon, especially really late. I mean, it isn't even late right now, and it's quiet. There's a lot of activity during the day, people parking and stuff. People do walk around and bicycle, and it's lively. It's a quiet part of town, even though it's in such a really loud interface, you know, with all the airplanes and stuff like that.
You've got a major interstate. You've got six tracks, I believe you said, the three freight lines going by, and an airport with active airplanes going all the time. But at this hour, right now, even with a 24-hour diner across the street from us, it seems quiet and peaceful.
Yeah, and in fact, there's a famous neon sign. If we go around the block, I could show it to you. It's got a woman saying "shh." And it says Georgetown, and she's basically motioning for everyone to be quiet. And it's just sort of an acknowledgement of how noisy it actually is here, and that, you know, if people are trying to sleep and such, you know. But as you can see, you can see there's apartments and things above this building. Love to know more about this building in particular, but it's
I wouldn't be surprised if it's in that series we've been studying called Seattle Now and Then, or Seattle Then and Now, one of those where this guy just goes around capturing everything that's ever happened in Seattle with pictures.
Is this your friend again?
Yeah, he's a UPS guy with no trailer. You know, it looked odd the first time. Now it's looking commonplace because I've just seen it, and a bus passed us as well. But I'm just seeing it everywhere now.
Yeah, it is pretty commonplace.
Well, okay, so now are we heading for that bar that has the trains? Is that where we're heading, or?
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any activity there. It's a long walk, too. I mean, are you up for it?
Well, I'm up for it, but...
Let's keep going. And you'll be surprised how far we get.
Yeah.
Georgetown is kind of a small place. It's just a long strip along here, and the rest of it's shaped a bit like a triangle in South Downtown. I'm sort of looking up in some of these rooms and seeing what people are doing.
Okay, living their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
But the big windows, big ceilings, high ceilings?
Yeah, very old. It's cool. Some wood, some stone.
So around the corner there's a record shop, comic book shop, which is basically the same store, coffee shop, pizza place, which I think is still open.
Which is?
The pizza place I think is still open.
The
light's on anyway.
Yeah, they're signed for sure.
Maybe they're just cleaning up. We have this, what looks like an abandoned building here, but it's not really, is it?
Well...
This part is.
Yeah, this isn't the office part. This is further down. It's the brew house from the old Rainier Brewery. And part of it was, the back part was ripped off, I think. They had a big problem here because the refrigeration facility had frozen the ground under the brewery, and I think it cracked the foundation in some horrible way that, I don't know, they couldn't keep the entirety of the building, so they kept the facade, I guess, which, if you look at it, has these
concrete
really
or
really huge boulders.
Yeah,
and then it's brick.
This building looks like it's from the 1800s. It really does.
You know? Isn't it neat?
Oh, and look at the telephone poles up there. It's the old-fashioned way of transporting wires.
In a nice straight line right up against
horizontal.
The building.
Yeah, look at that.
You can look all the way down the street. And this is the side of the brewery with the sidewalk and the street poles sort of
straight
guarding
line,
the building.
Straight line of... the bus has arrived. Straight line of telephone poles and the building. And... across the street, Full Throttle Bottles, which carries Club Mate.
Yes.
Amazing. So, yeah, you see a lot in such a quick amount of time, even though we're walking rather slowly. I like how every parking sign is sort of a geographical lesson, because the sign says no parking 7 to 9 a.m. south of here, no parking north of here. How do you know which way is south, which way is north? I don't.
I do.
Well, you do, but, I mean... there's no arrows there. Is it south that direction? Is north that direction? There's no way to really know.
Yeah, there's no arrows.
Why not just use arrows? Wouldn't that be... that's what we do in New York.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it makes too much sense to do that.
And that was a bus passing us, in case it wasn't obvious.
It's kind of a strange cover right there. That's weird.
Manhole cover with, like, a star on top of it? Or?
Yeah, it's like a raised spline...
what was that word you used?
Spline.
Okay, I never heard that word before.
I don't
before.
Know, or like, it's very bony looking.
All right.
This is a co-op photo studio in here.
And we have two falafel trucks across the street, so they're always there.
Yep, they're really famous. They actually have a spot there that they just... keep the trailer all the time.
Okay, the telephone poles take up the entire sidewalk, so we basically have to cross on one side, have to cross on the other. So, obviously, I can't talk to you while while that happens. Why did they do that?
They're not telephone poles. I mean, they're just huge poles.
Well, they're made out of wood, and they look like telephone poles. So, right. What's what I call them?
They're utility poles.
And phones are utilities, right?
Well, why are they that big? I mean, are there different gauges for? For electrical versus telephone?
Everything is big here for some reason.
It's always called telephone poles?
That's what we call them.
I know.
Boy, everything is different, isn't it?
That's another co-op art place in there. The whole building. I love the brick.
What does this mean on the ground? It says Monty with an arrow. It's official.
Something Thai. Mon-Thai.
Okay, so nobody knows what it means.
I think that's a code of some kind.
So you're saying about the bicycle what?
Just laughing because they did some paving here. We're across the street from the Georgetown Art Center, and there's two bicycle lane graphics on the pavement with arrows in front of it. And I was laughing because it's like they know that Georgetown people like bicycles. The city is probably having a good laugh with that by being like, "Hey, ride with your friends," you know. But technically. Two abreast, so two cyclists side by side, that's abreast, is legal. That is totally legal. So if you're taking up an entire lane by one person next to the other person, you can't really be hassled by drivers and stuff like that. It's totally legal. Anyway, it's just funny that there's two graphics on the street. Usually they just put one cyclist graphic on the farthest right-hand side kind of thing.
Yeah, two graphics for bicycles on the street, which I guess takes up a full car lane. And there's two of them going in this direction, but that works. If
yep.
People are safe about it, it works.
Definitely. Yeah, I think people are fairly conscientious riders in the area.
I've noticed that. People ride much better than they do in New York. Where they're constantly just putting themselves in harm's way. And I imagine you get some of that here, but people do seem to be more alert as to what's going on around them.
Yeah, it's a struggle. It's difficult. You've got to really hold your own and take precautions and be aware, be vigilant.
Wear a helmet, that would be nice.
Yeah, you've always got to have head protection.
So as we continue down the street here... how much further do you think we have past that traffic light up there?
Yeah, there's two more traffic lights.
Counting that one or not counting that one?
counting it.
Okay, so I see the second one from here, so...
Yeah.
Past that red light, then, you're saying that's the end of our journey?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not far.
Yeah, that's the corner. And this is the other end of the Rainier Brewery property. Such a gorgeous building. I love this one because there's, like, three stories. Although some people have taken out the third and made these sort of tall rooms.
This must be expensive.
Yeah, I think they're mostly working studios, but some of them look like people live there. I don't know. They look kind of cozy in some cases.
Yeah, but whether or not they're living or whatnot, it's pretty stylish. All brick building, very solid and...
Very, very solid. I mean, never going anywhere kind of thing. It's so old and historical. It's just incredible to have these relics. I like that kind of thing, and that people can repurpose them and run their business or live in kind of a urban but conscientious kind of mindset. I think it's really beautiful, being kind of sustainable in the city. And
look at this, all these office trailers just over there across the street, but, and there's a sign saying office trailers. I guess they... What is an office trailer? It's where you put your office in a trailer instead of an office?
Yeah, this guy, I think the office trailer company rents out some of this guy's property, and then he has a bunch of these old trucks, and then you're in front of his scrap yard. This is his office right here.
Wow, so it looks like something out of the Old West. It's a wooden, well, shack with twirled barbed wire on top, and boy, it's doesn't look very inviting.
No, it's not.
A train is going by now.
You can go up here and...
Go what? Climb the barbed wire?
Well, the other end of the Rainier property, you could get up by the trains there, but we're already headed this way.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy, though. This guy's a metal scrapper, and it's just like this old shack from many years ago. This is a crazy secret passage, too. I don't know what this is all
about. Oh, my God. That goes into a dark area behind a fence, and I'm not going in there no matter how much you pay me. And, you know, and you shouldn't either.
I've seen hobos go back there.
I've seen these, like, little bits of artwork with no explanation as to what they are on poles and walls and things like that. It's like somebody wearing a bird cage for their body and a hat on top of it, just sitting in a chair.
Yeah, there's a lot of urban artwork and guerrilla artwork.
And here's a sign, Cascadia Now, and possibly tomorrow. Website, cascadianow.org. Well, what the hell? So, this is really weird. I've never seen a poster that says how many members the Facebook group has, but it says facebook.com/groups/cascadianow, 1,700 plus members. Reddit.com/r/Cascadia, 2,400 plus members. Okay, well, that's really a feather in that cap. And apparently, there's some kind of movement.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. That's kind of cool that they're getting up and active again.
Here's this person I was telling you about. There are signs for somebody. Free Cateo, K-T-E-E-O, Catherine Olznick. In Seattle on September 27th, 2012, Cateo was thrown into prison for civil contempt for refusing to testify before a grand jury against members of her community. Grand juries have the power to take away your Fifth Amendment right so that you can be jailed for remaining silent. Interesting. So I guess if you want information on that, nopoliticalrepression.wordpress.com. And... yes, he's got a federal prisoner number there in Seattle. So, and somebody else, too. Matthew Kyle Duran, who looks like a cat there, probably because somebody ripped off the part that has his face, and he's holding a cat. But he's also in prison. He was thrown in prison for the same thing, it looks like. Okay, well, I'd like to know what this is all about. Some kind of political thing going on here.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
So we're going to continue on our way here. And those are two bicyclists riding abreast.
Yeah.
Exactly where they were supposed to do that.
Yes. And they're going up a massive hill. bridge.
Looks like they're ready for it. They had big smiles on their faces.
Yeah. It's a good way to get around. It's magic. And it's a great way to stay healthy, too.
Well, you do quite a bit of bicycling. And what do you do on this this time of year? I should say it's December right now. It's a bit chilly. It's not really cold, but it's chilly. But probably it's a way of staying warm, right?
Yeah, I always take a break for a couple months.
Which months do you take a break in?
Around this time, like November.
Ah, okay.
And December, especially if it starts snowing. October, I'll ride, but it can get really, really icy and cold. But on occasion, I'll go out for fun in the cold. But, you know, unless you're commuting is even really rough if it gets snowy, depending on how far you have to go. But I don't like to push it too much, you know, and I ride really hard in other parts of the year, so giving yourself a time to kind of get out of shape and then recoup a little bit, and you have some good meals, especially with the holidays, and that's important to just relax a little bit, not be constantly, you know, commuting or training or something like that. And I don't know, I'm pretty casual about it this time of year,
mm-hmm.
especially because it's so cold. But it's also good to go out in it and practice in the cold. It can be really refreshing, especially and at nighttime and things like that. So I'm not opposed to it. It seems like I do it less for just a couple months. And then, I don't know, and if it's not too snowy in the real cold, I'll actually be out because I kind of get the itch again. But it's usually after the holidays.
That's right. This is that strange light that we got stuck at that reminded us of the one in Manchester. Except now it's green over here. And it's not flashing orange on the other side.
Hey, you want to go look at this bridge that they're almost done with here?
Not if it involves walking on a bridge that's not open.
No, let's just go down in front of the paint store here that's part of the street. I bet there's a train.
I do hear a train. I hear that bell.
Well, I think as long as we stay no further than under that street lamp, we're still, like, on the street proper, so...
Well, all right, but I'm just worried that we might get questioned if authorities see us doing this, because it looks kind of sketchy.
Well, I just want to peek around the corner real quick, and, you know, if anybody asks, I'll just tell them that we're checking out the new bridge, and we're not going to go on it or anything. We were just walking down the street.
Which looks like it's getting very narrow.
And then we're going to turn around. Yeah, this is a sort of dead end. You can't really go onto the tracks, but it's... Yeah, well, you'll see. You'll see.
This also makes me a little worried about what's around this corner, because it's kind of dark, and, yeah, it looks really uninviting, Kyle. It's, I don't know. You really want to walk down there?
Well, let's just peek, okay?
All right. That sounds like famous last words, but if you say so, it's your turn.
Well, you want me to get a flashlight out? I mean, I'm...
No.
It's not that busy an area.
Well, I know it's not that busy an area. That's why I'm expressing a little bit of concern with us walking into it, because it's... really, really dark, and do hear the sound of a train diesel up ahead. Now, if people were suddenly behind us,
yeah.
Where would we be able to go from this point? I'm just wondering, because I like to be, you know, prepared for any situation. It's just...
Well, we'd have to turn around.
Yeah,
we should stop as soon as we can see around this building if there's a train.
Well, I hear an engine of some sort. I don't think that's a train.
So just stand right here, next to the bridge here, and I'm going to turn off my light. And we can go ahead and make, like, you know, we're turning around again. I just wanted to see if this guy was going to pass by. We'd see the train, but this is the end of this street. And as you can see, here's the wall. This is the new Airport Way Bridge. And it's been a real inconvenience, it being out of commission, because, Airport Way is the main byway in the city here, downtown.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, I don't want to make you too nervous.
Well, there's something running next to us, and it's not a train. What is that?
It could be a compressor for air.
Do they need air here?
Or a light tower kind of
thing. Oh, for those bright lights that are over there. Okay. Well, I mean, unless there's something else you want to see here. It just seems like a dark alley to me.
Yeah, we can turn around then.
All right, I'm for that.
I thought I heard a train or something.
Well, I did hear a train, but it went by.
I was the new the street lamp was sort of inviting. It was all paved and stuff, and was looking at the edge of this.
Well, it's paved at the beginning.
Yeah, and then it gets into dirt road stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's a paint store and I think a landscaping company over here.
So when's this bridge going to be completed?
I think in a couple months. It's taken them a heck of a long time. I mean, they've worked really hard on it, but people are really waiting for it around here because the alternative route is less desirable and direct, and it's been just a really inconvenient detour.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We've only seen maybe a handful of people, but there is activity. It must have been inside, though.
Well, it is early in the week, night.
True. It's a Monday night, a little after midnight, so... So one cop who seems to be lost that's just driving around.
They're pretty silly.
Yeah.
This has all been paved, the approach here. It's all this really hard, like, runway concrete. I think they're going to repave Georgetown again. This is another historical building here.
Oh, so is this the bar?
Yeah.
Okay,
so there's a bunch of people in there.
Crept up on us.
Yeah, and this is a very far north corner of the main strip of Georgetown.
And there's
old Georgetown. I mean, not the sort of perimeter Georgetown, if you were measuring it on a map.
And there's no train here. There's train tracks, but this time the train is not actually here.
Yeah, we can walk out to the tracks. It's not uncommon for people to stand up here.
Well, the train goes at 1 mile an hour, so it's probably not that dangerous. But
yeah, it's really just siding, but it goes a fair way down through almost the middle of this stretch that we've walked.
This is what I was telling you about before, but there's red lights flashing on the tracks. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, that tells you if things are closed or open and stuff. I think it's really just a signal meant for the conductors and stuff.
And there's people there, aren't there?
Yeah, they look kind of impaired and up to no good, so we can just walk away. Or
did you
I couldn't conjure up a train for you.
No, well, do you want to conjure up a beer and we can resume walking back?
Yeah, sure.
Because it's kind of cold, you know.
All right, that's fine.
All right, now we can get away from the impaired people.
Okay.
We ready? Landers, buddy!
Yeah, okay, so we had a nice time in the bar. Well, you know, it wasn't that nice. It was good. It was
nice. They're watching a movie, but they're pumping the audio through, so it wasn't just TV. It was like the whole immersive thing, and it was a little distracting.
You had no idea what movie that was, right?
It was like Haunted Death House or House
It was about, his family had moved into a haunted house, and they were told about the haunted house. They moved in anyway because they're stupid, and then these people started appearing to them, and like... Somebody please write to us, tell us what movie this is, because we really want to know.
It was crappy. It was the worst movie ever.
They woke up in the middle of the night, and there were these people who looked like Batman, like, showing up and scaring the wife. But I think that turned out to be a crazy neighbor. And then the kid kept running into this, like, really dark girl, and then her really dark boyfriend who tried to kill him. Except, I don't think he was the ghost. I think the girl's the ghost. You know what? I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. But... at least it was something warm to stand inside of. And it was that same bar that had the train like, went right in front of it, except unfortunately the train wasn't going right in front of it today.
Well, we checked. That was the important thing. And usually they're just doing that to move out of the way to get other trains passing. They move like empty containers or like garbage containers and stuff like that, but they weren't there. Oh well, we walked back. So.
It was good to walk all the way down there to see where everything was and put it in perspective. Now I know exactly where that place is because I know the other places, and it's kind of cool. And here we are standing back where we started again, and the train is approaching, but it's approaching kind of slow. It's a freight train, but we see it. It's there. It's getting ever closer. Our thought is that we'll give it a few minutes, and hopefully it'll show up by the time. Is that another train? You see that light over there?
Yeah, that might be one that's going to pass it.
That was moving pretty good. Oh, yeah, you hear that?
Yeah, that might be Amtrak or something else.
It's moving faster than I've seen any freight train move. And yeah, it's going to pass that other train very quickly. I don't think Amtrak would be running at this hour, which is about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's tough to say. The other one might just be an engine moving into position. The other one is actual freight, but...
Well, it's definitely getting closer. It's gotten significantly closer since we got here a couple minutes ago, so I think they'll both pass us.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a dry, crisp night, and the weather's changing, and...
And the train is approaching. It's a chilly night, I think. Shall we stand by the side of the building?
I can see my breath. It's cold. Definitely cold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's winter, so I guess it should be cold. Do you expect much snow here?
I don't know. We have a Pineapple Express winter.
Look at that. The two engines are passing each other. Well, one's passing it.
Oh, that's cool.
You don't get to see that every day. And radio listeners pay special attention to this. The one engine is passing on the left. Looks like a freight, and another one's going very slowly on the right.
Yeah, that's a double-decker, like, full of of freight containers, intermodal containers. But yeah, we got a Pineapple Express winter, which don't ask me what that means. I have no idea, but it's a cycle of weather, and the Pineapple Express is upon us, so we get abnormally wet or interesting temperatures. So.
Let's listen to the train as it wails past us.
Yeah, those look like empty garbage containers.
Empty garbage containers passing right by. How exciting.
Yeah.
Only two diesels hauling this thing, so it can't be that big. And that other engine is still moving very, very slowly. I'd say it's probably going like 5 miles an hour.
I love the lighting, the slower one and the other train passing it. The headlights of the slower train are shining on the length of the empty trash cars.
It really is incredible, watching freight trains. You're either into it or you're not. And yes, there's another UPS truck without its trailer.
How many other cars have you seen on the road other than UPS? I just want you to know. Like,
the vast majority has been UPS tonight.
Like, they win 10-1, hands down.
Okay, so now we get to an exciting point where the freight train, it's still, wait, is that the same freight train over there?
Yeah, that's just the engine or a work train.
No, this train's ending. See, that's the end of that train. That's
right.
A different train.
Right, that's the slower moving one.
It's the whole train behind him. Interesting, okay.
There are a bunch of engines, it looks like, or work trains. Maybe they're fixing the track or something.
Okay, yeah, you think a bunch of engines.
There's a lot of lights on that. It doesn't look like a normal engine.
Yeah, it's going rather slow, and it's not very long. I could stay here all day just watching trains go by. I love doing that.
Yeah, that's a maintenance train of some kind. See all the lights?
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's really
things you see just standing here. Oh yeah, what is that? That's weird looking.
I think it resurfaces the top of the rail. You can see the spark. Maybe is it?
It's rather high tech looking. A lot of lights on it. I see the spark.
You see the sparking?
Yep. What we lack in high-speed rail in this country, we certainly make up for in freight rail, because it's quite a network and it's constantly being used.
That is the most bizarre train I've ever seen.
Well, I'm happy to be able to help you see that. Standing
I
right here
no
in your own town.
I have no idea what that is for, but it is the weirdest thing.
There's a bored-looking guy in an orange suit at the end of it.
Yeah.
And sodium vapor light too at the end of it. Wow.
Isn't that something?
Well, and here comes a vicious poodle. Why would a dog like that, with a coat on, be out on the street in the middle of the night? We'll be right back. let's have some final words. Look, there's some kind of construction train coming up, too, with flashing lights. It's flashing red lights there, but it's flashing amber lights. I saw, on my trip across country, I saw a truck on the tracks, driving, but it was on the tracks. Like, it had...
that's probably a truck on the track.
Okay. So that might be the same thing. Might be the same truck. Who knows?
Yeah, checking the work of the previous train that we saw that went that way.
Such a complex network of things going on.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle, it's been great. This is an awesome place.
Oh, thanks for coming out and visiting. And it's just a slice, a sliver. There's so many cool things I love to talk about and a lot of different ways to look at things. But it's just cool to explore. I see it in a different way, and I love hosting and, I don't know, having company. It's really a treat. So
It's a place just made more interesting by the things that you show people, and you know, it's one of these unique places that I don't know. I guess exists in other areas as well, but Georgetown in Seattle is really one of a kind, I think.
Yeah, I hope it gives it some depth, you know, and in your perception of Seattle. You know, it's not just one thing. The city of Seattle. It's many different communities, and this is just one. So, it's you know, there's a lot of stereotypes. They get cities like that get that different stereotypes. It's going to be this or that or the other thing, but there's a lot more to it once you get down on the.
My stereotypes of Seattle and Georgetown. Well, not really Georgetown, but Seattle, I guess. So we just didn't really know about this place, and you had your stereotypes of New York, which were dispelled once you got familiar with that place.
Absolutely, yeah. By getting to see it and go around with a native, somebody who knows the area and can interpret things and get you on the right time scale and make sure you don't get stuck in foolish stuff like traffic and that stuff, you really then get to experience the area and form your own kind of balanced opinion of what that area is all about, because you've gotten through all the hang-ups that someone who didn't live there might experience and then walk away thinking that that's an attribute or negative on their experience. If you can set people up to experience it as though they've been there for a long time and then share it with them, they can really absorb it and have an experience like a native for themselves.
Well said, and that's how to experience things. All right, as the truck on the tracks gets closer, we're going to sign off and do some other adventurous recording someplace else.
Cool. I'll hopefully join you then.
You've been listening to a special pre-recorded edition of Off the Wall as we explored the part of Seattle known as Georgetown. Next week, we head to upstate New York to visit a monastery that breeds German shepherds. It's the Monks of Newskeet, next week on Off the Wall. Your feedback is important. Write to us at otw@2600.com. This is Emmanuel. Have a good night.